Neil deGrasse Tyson is perhaps the most famous living astrophysicist. He's got a popular podcast called Star Talk Radio, which regularly ranks among the top science podcasts on iTunes. He also hosted the sequel to Carl Sagan's groundbreaking TV series Cosmos, and he'll be in Pittsburgh for a lecture later this month. 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed spoke with him about what got him interested in outer space as a kid and the possibility that what we call reality is just a simulation.
On your podcast, Star Talk, you introduce yourself as your personal astrophysicist. Why do you introduce yourself that way? And does it say something about the relationship that you have with your listeners?
Well, I'm going to take a bet that I might be the only astrophysicist that most people know. So, yes, it's audacious to say I'm your personal astrophysicist, but it's an attempt, however successful or not, to encourage people to be comfortable with what they're about to learn that we draw from the universe. And the format of Star Talk is conceived to be kind of like we're all sitting around, you know, the living room, and just a subject comes up and we find all the ways that it touches us, not only as sort of citizens of the planet, but also many aspects of science plug into the pop culture that you already bring to the conversation. And so you find out all the ways that science matters in your life. And in that way, I think of myself as your personal astrophysicist.
For what it's worth, I never considered it audacious. I considered it sort of intimate in a way.
Thank you.
Podcasting and radio is quite an intimate medium.
Yeah, it is, especially if you're in the fitness center and it's just you and your listening audience. You know, it's just right there.
Yeah, exactly.
One on one.
I'm curious, what got you interested in science as a kid?
Well, I think all kids are born scientists in the sense that they're all curious. In fact, we are curious as children to the point of risking our survival and our health. Most of what you do as an adult, especially as a parent, is to prevent kids from fully manifesting the curiosity that courses within them. Stay away from that edge. Put that fragile thing down. Don't get yourself dirty. All of these commands that we place upon our growing children are designed to constrict their native attempt to be curious about their environment. When I was 9 is when that curiosity focused onto the universe itself. And it was a family trip to the local planetarium. And I grew up in New York City. So that would be the Hayden Planetarium, where I now serve as director. But it was a family trip, and we went into the dome, and the lights went out, and the stars came out, and I was hooked. I would say starstruck. That's the only way I can describe it.
Your life seems to have so many of these beautiful synchronicities. I mean, this place that first got you hooked on exploring the universe is now where you work. Cosmos, I know, with Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan had a huge influence on you. Then you became the host of the reboot. I mean, is this something that you think about in a cosmic sense, or are these just coincidences?
No, what you're not seeing are all the coincidences that never happened. You know, these look good because they happen, but how about all the stuff that didn't happen? I've thought about maybe going to the moon. No, I've never been to the moon. And had I been head of some other planetarium, one could still say, oh, you a planetarium first influenced you. Now you're director of a planetarium, not the Hayden Planetarium. One might still count that as synchronous. But I spent a lot of time looking at all the ways things are not synchronous. So in the big statistics of it all, I don't think it's anything more special than anything else that might or might not happen.
Okay, so I've been reading that Elon Musk and other people in Silicon Valley are increasingly convinced of simulation theory, basically the idea that we're living in a matrix-like simulation. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think the argument is persuasive. And it's not just that they're thinking this. There was a philosopher, and I forgot his name, in the 1990s, who advanced this idea upon seeing how powerful computing was coming along. He was imagining that there would come a day where you could simulate an entire universe on your computer. And that would include life forms and neurosynapses of minds operating. And you could even give them free will, perhaps. You program this in. And then at what point is the life form that you created, at what point are you going to say it's not real? Well, yes, you simulated it, but the life form itself doesn't know it's simulated. It's living in a world that you created for itself. Well, that world that you create may, on its own initiative, decide that it wants to simulate a universe within it. And if this continues, it would mean most universes that exist are simulated rather than real. Now, if that's the case, and we are in a universe, we are more likely then to be in a simulated universe than a real one. So it's a fascinating bit of logic, and you can't really deny that plausibility, given how powerful computers are, what direction they're headed, and how powerful they may one day become. So yeah, I'd say, you know, let it be so. And then it gives you an answer to the question, why are the laws of physics this way and not some other way? Well, some kid in their parents' basement programmed us to be whatever they wanted.
That makes me kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're being completely eavesdropped upon by in someone's basement, for sure. But I have no reason to think it's not true. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. One final question. Your talk later this month in Pittsburgh is titled An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies. So can you give us a little taste of what's in store for us?
You experience movie clips as I experienced them when I first saw those clips in their full films. And you'll get to see what I think of. Was it a good portrayal of science, a bad portrayal of science? Did they miss an opportunity because the producer or the director or the writer didn't know as much biology or physics or chemistry as they could have or should have to have written that scene? So it is a full, total indulgence of what it is to see and appreciate a film if you do it through the lens of science literacy. And so I always look forward to presenting that. And you see clips from at least two or three dozen films, short clips, 30-second, one-minute bits, which is all that's necessary to typically make the point that I do.
Dr. Tyson, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks for having me, and of course, thanks for your interest.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist, podcast host, and director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City. He'll be in Pittsburgh November 29th. And by the way, that philosopher Tyson was talking about is Nick Bostrom. He published his paper, Are You Living in a Computer Simulation? In 2003.